Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Diamonds in my teeth, I got a lot of shine. Running up the number, that's a lot of crime. Try to take it from me, must be out your mind. I keep playing, lot of sun. Smokey in the air, that's a lot of pine. Pockets running over with the dollar sign. Try to take it from me.
Welcome to episode 344 of Fourth and John. I'm Dale Saunders here with Evan Hollywood Hearn and Mr. Primo and Mr. Mao and Damn Skippy, a.k.a. Hollis Thomas, in the building tonight. We are talking the wide receiver prospects, trying to give you a little rundown. As you know, it is draft season. It's the reason for the season. We're excited about, you know, a lot of the prospects. We did running back prospects. If you haven't got to see that, make sure you go back to see the latest episodes so you can get caught up on all the draft knowledge. I mean, we're really hamming it up about running backs, and tonight we're going to talk about the wide receivers. And before we get into the wide receivers, we are going to talk about the wide receiver group. Obviously, it's, you know, the coaches out there speaking. You know, they're having their little meetings out there. We're having our little meetings. But how are you guys doing today? Are you guys excited about draft talk?
Hey, man, we are inching nearer. Actually, now that I look at it right now, we are less than a month away from the NFL draft as we sit here March 28th. So, man, I'm excited. And we're looking at a position tonight that is one of the more exciting positions, in my opinion, to look at. I mean, I know, you know how people love bringing up around draft time with the offensive linemen. They talk about their, oh, well, it's not the sexy pick. These are the sexy picks we're talking about here tonight. We got the wide receivers, the playmakers. And we've already got two solid ones, man. I'm looking to add to our stable and get into it, man.
Yeah, man. We talking about the wide receivers tonight. I mean, it's something to definitely look forward to. I mean, if there's anything that I look forward to the most, is just to see Evan and Maul go at it. You know what I mean? About prospects.
We're not talking running backs tonight, bro.
No, that's all right, though, but it's still wide receivers. I'm pretty sure you guys are going to find something to go ahead and go at it about. But, yeah, I mean, it's a good topic to talk about tonight. Looking forward to it. I mean, like you said, the draft is only but less than a month away. You know what I mean? Excited. Let's ready to get there.
The thing that I'm already cracking up at is I just saw one of the first comments was give Quez a chance. Well, we gave Quez a chance, and if he had a season second, we wouldn't be talking about this shit right now. We'd be talking about another position. But seeing as the third wide receiver is what we need the most help at, you know, I think, and I'm excited to talk about it because I broke down a few guys. I even went back and found the guy that me and Mal was talking about, the guy from that's coming out of Iowa State.
JSN.
Oh, Hutchinson.
Hutchinson. Yeah, I went back and looked at him and took a look at him. And it's a few guys that I feel like that are going to be like slightly sleepers. But I feel like it's one guy that in particular, I've been watching him his whole time at the University of Purdue. And I think he fits what we do extremely well. And I think we're going to mess around and get him. Because he's not really highly touted, but he's highly touted. So I think the kid. I'm not going to reveal it yet. It's one of my sleepers. You know, I don't want to do this show in the first 30 seconds though.
All right, you know, you can that's a nice little teaser right there.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to give him, tease.
Why don't we get into it, man? We'll talk about the wide receiver group. If you look at the group here, you know, the 1-3 looks I mean really great, 1-2, but you know, we start talking about wide receiver 3, we're talking about upgrading. We always talk about upgrading the positions. AJ Brown has been, you know, he's been worth every bit of you know, draft capital money we're paying him. Devontae Smith, he's been a route guy like we expected to do. Quez Watkins, that's where we need to we have some concerns, questions. We still believe in his ability. You know, Tyree Cleveland, Devon Allen, Britton Covey. That's when you get to Jag territory. Obviously, we're gonna give Britton Covey his props for you know, being a special teamer, but at the end of the day, we need to upgrade the position. It's not about staying, you know, pat and being okay with everything. You have to always think upgrade. So, you know, thinking about the wide receiver group, your biggest concerns right off the bat.
I think that you just need to cut the fat, man. Cut the dead weight. Because I really think that, like, you look at a guy, and I'm not trying to take shots at anybody on this roster, but you, like, last year was somewhat of an experiment with Britton Covey. We went into this year, the past season, kind of expecting him not to really fill in at all in the wide receiver room, but to really help us in a spot where we were severely lacking in the return game. And to be honest with you, that experiment, whatever you want to call it, it was underwhelming. I mean, if he could have maybe popped a run back at some point during the year, I could see the value in it. But as it stands right now, he's a very undersized wide receiver, and he doesn't really bring what it takes in the return game. And so you just think about guys that you're only able to dress 53 men on Sunday.
45
men on Sunday.
To help you out with that, that's why when I learned this, it was funny when I learned this, I'll tell you later. But it's only 45 or 48 of the 53 up. So you have to pick and choose who's up. And it goes with the thing. Continue.
That's exactly my point, is that, like, we brought Britton Covey in as a guy to fill a very specific need, and he wasn't even able to do that. So if you're able to go get a wide receiver, I know that Braxton Berrios is already off the table, but a guy that is able to fill in as a wide receiver 3 and also contribute in the return game, I think that's exactly what you're looking for.
I was gonna piggyback off what Ed was saying, was you only get to dress so many. And that guy, you got one guy that's doing just one thing. When you pick your third or fourth wide receiver, they should be able to fill in where need be. That's what the linebackers and the DBs, because on such teams, you have most linebackers, DBs, and tight end. Those guys are expected that if one of the guys that are starting, if they go down, they're expected to come in and give help on that spot. I don't think we were expecting Covey to come in at any point in time, no matter who got hurt. It was just one of those things where we were expecting way more from him than we got. And that's why I feel like we needed more out of the number 3 receiver. And I think that's where our animosity is coming from, because of what Quez didn't give us. And like, when Quez was doing good early on, and we felt like we had 3 Batmans at first, because he was doing pretty good. Then he starts stinking up the joint, and we felt like we found who Robin really was. We started looking at the return guy. All he was doing was standing back there and fair catching. It's like, damn. We needed some help. That
and when he wasn't getting fair catch, he was getting blown up.
and it goes to what you said too. It's like, if we only have 45 up, we're wasting a spot, because we can have somebody who can play receiver and or somebody who can play DB that can be a punt returner and both. It's like, so you kind of wasting a spot on the guy who could be fresh for us and up.
Mm. What about you, Mal? What you thinking over there?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people talking about trade Quez or cut Quez. I'm not necessarily saying that, but no. I've definitely been saying the whole time, upgrade the wide receiver 3. People downplaying the importance of a wide receiver 3, but I think if you look at what this offense needs to be able to carry a defense that might not be as good or as talented this year, you need somebody that's going to step up. And we saw Quez had opportunities to do it. I mean, he didn't play terribly, right? But, you know, his mistakes, the drop in the Super Bowl, the fumble versus Washington, are the things that stand out to you as, like, plays that just can't happen, right? So, you know, how much can Jalen rely on him, you know, because this is a game about confidence too. And so when you have two horses like Devontae and like Swole Batman, you got to make a play for somebody And I'm excited to get into it because this draft has a ton of really good wide receivers. So I think that this is a great time to get somebody day two, early day three, that could eventually become a, you know, you could groom to become a starter.
Now, obviously, the Eagles have two first-round picks. In that 30th pick, people are very excited about that 30th pick. I'm not going to say more excited than the 10th pick, but in terms of trying to figure out what we do, whether it move back or stay pat, that is kind of like where people are thinking maybe a wide receiver if they're like, you know, tied in. You know, I know Eagles Twitter might be I've seen the JSN early. I'm not taking anything from JSN, but I'm just saying not a 10. You know,
if you were to trade back the same way I feel about Bijan, I kind of feel about JSN. If you're able to trade back into the teens and still get him, I mean,
absolutely,
that's valuable, man.
And then again, wide receiver is a position that the Eagles do draft in the first round. That is it.
But we've missed several times. But they, yeah, I was going to say.
Not the last time.
I mean, I think the whole experiment part is pretty much like done and over with. We gave Quez more than enough time. I mean, bro, he got thrown into a category where, you know, I mean, you had different Batmans, and Just to be in that category, you would think that would hype that man up, and you know what I mean, it'd be a big thing and get the best out of him. But I mean, it's like you guys mentioned, there were some key plays that didn't get he didn't follow through with, and they were big, you know, and they were big moments. But yeah, I think it's just time to go ahead and definitely upgrade in that position. Like you guys said, man, there's a lot of talent in this draft that's coming up. So I think, you know, one of these studs could definitely go ahead and fill that gap. I'm not, you know, I agree with you, man. I'm not saying that, you know, cut him or trade him or anything like that. But I mean, at the end of the day, the business is business. If that was to happen, it is what it is. But, you know, I mean, I think it's definitely time to go ahead and put that attention to, you know, upgrading on that third wide receiver three position.
Just putting it out there, $2.7 million is freed up if they do decide.
Well, no, the thing with this is I want competition there.
Absolutely.
Brings out the best in everybody.
Exactly.
If we didn't have any competition, you didn't have to worry about Covey or Devin Allen taking the spot. Yeah. You could get complacent like that. And once they draft, I think they should draft somebody in the second round. That's what my thinking, because it'll put his ass on notice, one, because the second round is making the game. And you better push Covey out the way and start catching some of the fucking punts. And become a returner because that kid that they drafted in the second round, once he garners the playbook and they put a little continuity and confidence in that kid and start believing in him, your ass is you're gonna have to make plays to get your ass on the field. And that's just you had your chance to be teacher's pet. You fucked it up. You brought her right now.
Facts.
Now, people in the chat, if you have players, I know there's some questions already. I'll try to get to those in a little bit. But if you have players that you want to talk about, let us know in the chat, and we'll try to bring those up. But as we go through, let's start from the top and move down a little bit. You know, obviously the guys that you hear.
Go ahead. Can I throw a non rookie coming in, but just a name I've seen floated out there, Jarvis Landry. Jarvis Landry do anything?
Well, not on Jarvis.
Out on Jarvis?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, he got a lot of wear on the tires, but he a professional.
As a wide receiver, so three though,
he could play the slot well. I mean, he could still return.
It's not contagious over here, bro.
Not feeling it.
You know, I like Jarvis, bro.
Hey, a few years ago, I probably would have did it, but I think when he was talking that shit about Cleveland had the best receiving core in the NFL before a game was even fucking played, and then they snuck up the joint. I don't need that kind of bullshit there.
Yeah. I mean, he's just a guy that's hyping up his own squad at the same time.
Hey, man, it's time to get younger. If you can draft there, and there's suitable guys that. Like I was talking about earlier about this, if you look at the scenario, you know, you got 1A, 1B, you know, this is an opportunity where you can get really, you know, you can get luxury with this pick where it's like this guy could be potential, you know, 1B down the road if they plan to, you know, move off one of the players, said players that we have in here. Not to say that you want, but you also get a guy marinating in the wide receiver room. With two talented prop, like you have AJ Brown and you have Devontae Smith, and then you bring in a rookie into that is sitting next to these great wide receivers. This is that's a great luxury to have.
What you just said is something that I secretly fear in the back of my head. I don't want to lose AJ or Devontae, bro. I want them to be in my life, bro.
I mean, you
don't lose one of them boys.
I know. That's the sad part, bro. I don't want to lose either one of them.
Unfortunately,
I mean, it's just the nature of the beast. You're talking about 2 to 3 years.
Yeah.
The wide receiver prices are going.
The one thing I do know is like until AJ becomes one of the lower paid receivers and go what he do, we're gonna have to pay Devontae pretty soon.
Yeah. And Devontae's gonna get a pretty penny, man.
Yes, sir.
He ain't gonna be cheap.
Yeah. Nope. And then but when you look at it, I think we should be positioned to at least keep one, possibly two, both of them. And it's like it's one of those things where sometimes when you get a lot of cheese, you kind of want to keep winning.
Yeah.
Hey man, we weren't expecting both Slay and Bradberry back, so you know Howie's made magic happen before.
I feel like with this wide receiver group though, you mentioned Jarvis Landry. No matter what, they have to add a veteran to this group, right? Like Tank already talked about competition. Covey and Devin Allen aren't really going to push a wide receiver forward for snaps, right? They're like, they're not going to make somebody seat hot. So I still want a vet. It may not be Jarvis Landry. You know, maybe it's somebody that gets cut during training camp. Maybe it's somebody that gets freed up later on for like a day 3 pick next year, but still add to this group because, you know, I like what Zach Pascal brought. Like, we don't really have that dog right now, right? That like, he was the first person jumping on the pile when somebody hit Jalen Lee. Yeah, he got there before Mailata got. Like, you don't have that guy in the room.
He's like PJ Tucker, bro. He's playing hard.
You need that goon in the wide receiver room that plays your special team reps and all of that stuff. And right now, I don't know that we have that person. You know, I don't think that they cost you a lot, but I do feel as though we're missing that piece or that component, and I don't know that I'm drafting a rookie to do that. I didn't really see a rookie that had that in them like that. Maybe Cedric Tillman, but you know, that's a little drop. But
I was gonna say sometimes you gotta bring a tough rookie in sometimes, and when you know who's that tough motherfucker because they come in and they come in trying to get on the field by any means necessary.
Yeah,
they gotta go knock the crap out of somebody or teams return. A block. They're trying to get on the field. They're trying to be seen. That's the type of receiver I expect my third wide receiver to be.
And what one name I keep seeing floated down the timeline as well in the name of vets.
Yeah.
That I just don't get, man. DeAndre Hopkins. Listen, DeAndre Hopkins is a great wide receiver, but like you bring him to here, bro, we got way too many mouths to feed up in here, bro. Like, what are you talking about?
But I think DeAndre wants to win, though.
If he wants to win,
yeah, but a top flight wide receiver is not gonna. He's only gonna go so far low with his contract.
I don't know how many games you have flexing between AJ Brown and not playing well, right? Because we saw that AJ started to get a little bit frustrated the tail end of the season, right? Like his body language definitely spoke to the fact he wanted the rock. You added Devontae Hopkins in the mix. He's a vet. He's somebody that's well respected, but like. Yo, how many squeaky wheels can you feed, bro?
Yeah,
you still
got
to run the ball. You still got a lot of other stuff to do. So, you know, I think a rookie, I think what you said, day two, I'm thinking that 30th pick is perfect because you still want that fifth-year control, right? If you got somebody that's really a baller, that's keeping that championship window open. But, like, this year's rookie class, to me, is perfect to find that person that slides in, learns for a couple of years, and if necessary, if you got to ship, like we said, one of these dudes off, boom, step in it, and let's keep this thing rolling.
One of the things that I'm keeping in the back of my mind, too, though, is, like, how much do you guys anticipate this Eagles offense changing? Because we're talking about, obviously, we have a lot of the same pieces, but we also are losing, like, our lead running back. Yeah. And until that void is filled, like, do you think that the Eagles are going to be a lot more pass-reliant?
I don't think so. I think Gainwell showed you what he could do in the playoffs.
I don't know if he's an every down back though, man.
None of these guys that we got are every down back, but they you know the switch that they do. I mean, you know, bringing, you know, the being in and out, it helps out a lot. Having those options is key. And you know, I mean, Miles Sanders had a great year, but then you know when he was down and out, you had Gainwell or Boston Scott step in, and that's what we need. I think we'll be fine there. I mean, I agree with you, man. We definitely have to fill that void. But going back to what you had mentioned about, you know, you're scared of Evan. You had mentioned about you're scared that a rookie wide receiver. No. I'm just saying a rookie wide receiver coming in on that wide receiver three spot, because you're looking for, you know, you would want rather a vet to boost. I just want to use Devontae Smith as an example. Remember when he came into the league? You saw how hungry that kid was. Yeah. I would love to have another wide receiver. Like, I'm just saying.
No, and I agree with you. I think Devontae's mentality is exactly what you're looking for. But I also think that is not something that just grows on trees.
If it's there, it's there.
No, totally, yeah. totally. But I think that Devontae is so, like, one of the things that I love that came out from Devontae earlier this year was just talking about how dude doesn't go out. He just sits at home and watches film. But when you got money like that and you're in your young 20s, like, dudes want to spend money, and I totally get that. I can't knock them for it. They have the money to spend. But when you get a guy that has that mentality of, I just want to win, I just want to be the best I could possibly be, that's invaluable.
And that's why I think it's very important to, like, develop a younger talent to come in here. This is where you get a cheaper, younger talent, and that he can just look across the way, and he's learning from some of the best guys to do it. And I think in this draft, there's a lot of prospects that, you know, we got some big guys, we got some slot guys, we got some guys that can, you know, on the back end that can play special teams. And we should get into it.
On that development part, it's a disclaimer. Don't come in and need too much motherfucking development. You're getting paid like everybody else. All I need is motherfucking tenacity and some willingness to take coaching. If you come in with that, your development is gonna be there. I don't need no damn project. I don't need no can't. I don't need no fucking can't get right. I don't need nobody who's dumb in the bag of rocks either.
You mean like Josh Gordon?
Oh God.
Yeah.
Don't need no shit like that.
So our first prospect to talk about, you know, he's getting a lot of buzz, but I'm not, you know, TCU wide receiver Quentin Johnston. I mean, on paper, you know, the size 6'3", 208. I think, you know, I watch this guy's game a lot. You know, while he's got the big body, he doesn't play as physical as you would like from, you know, we're used to seeing some physical wide receivers across the way from Devontae Smith. So, I mean, at 6'3", 208, he's a guy that has rack ability, and he's also, you know, he's elusive in open field. But what are you guys' thoughts on Quentin Johnston?
Yeah, man, I was – I'll jump in here. You know, I was excited, man, right? That, like, oh, man, I was mocking him number 10. I was geeked up, but because, you know, when you look at the physical profile, he looks like what you want, the rack ability, right? Catch the rock. The moves when he has the ball in his hands, he looks like a running back. The problem is he has to get the ball into his hands as a wide receiver. And the drops, right? Like a 10.2% drop percentage and a 40.7% catch percentage. You can't have that. What a dude his size, man. If you're investing in somebody in the first round, you either want them to not drop the ball or make highly contested catches. The fact that he can do neither, you know, for me, I pushed him way down my board to wide receiver 4 at the end of the first round. And, you know, one of the other things that I noticed is that he's a high strider, right? Like, as a wide receiver that's that tall, you don't want to give that much of a strike zone to people. And so Kelly Ringo got work. He got with him in the national championship. And so these big physical receivers in the NFL, man, he's going to have issues. So I like Quentin Johnston from a physical standpoint. He's an athletic freak. But unless you're moving him to running back like they did with Cordell Patterson, he might have some issues early on in the NFL with consistency.
And that would be a massive-bodied running back as well, too. 6'3". Like, that would be nutty.
But would you consider that a project?
That's a project not worth the first round.
Definitely not the first round, but it's a project. If he's there, you know what I mean, in the later rounds or something like that, it's a project, right? If he fell, I went back and I saw that TCU game a little bit just to get, you know, do a little homework on this kid, Johnston. And, yo, he got shut down bad. Like, it was crazy. So it's just like you said, Mal, like, you coming into the NFL, I'm pretty sure a lot of these guys are going to have your number at the end of the day. So it's just like,
And to just build off what Mal said, like, I completely agree with the fact of, like, you look at just him on paper and physically and athletically, the dude is a freak, man. Like, he really is a legitimate athlete. Yeah. And Jay Cross, I hate to be that guy, but I like somewhat agree with you in here, where I'm not sitting saying because of TCU, I'm saying TCU wide receiver with a 10% drop rate. I've seen that one before.
Yeah.
No thanks.
Yeah, we saw that for way too long, didn't we?
They're definitely different wide receivers, right? Like Jalen Reagor and Quentin Johnson.
I mean, physically, they're two different players, wide receivers. But I've been burnt once. I think that the crop for the wide receivers is strong enough to where, like, he's not – Quentin Johnson isn't the only guy coming out this year. You know what I mean? So
When you put first round stamp on it, I expect things from my first round.
If you're a first round wide receiver, in my opinion, you should be able to step in day one and at least be a wide receiver two on the team.
Yeah, and he can't do that. I'm sorry.
We're going to talk about some folks here that y'all really like that got drop issues and can't make contested catches.
I know.
I want to see if we're going to keep this energy the same, bro.
All right.
I'm not quitting.
There it is. There it starts.
You know the deal.
I'm just talking about TCU receivers. I wouldn't pick a receiver now.
Okay, how about we move off of Quentin? Because I think we all kind of firmly agree that I don't think the Eagles are, you know. Now JSN or Jackson Smith and Jigba, out of Ohio State, you know, I think he's a guy who has been reliable. Like when you see some of his routes, I think he can fall into the category of QB's best friend. You know, he's reliable, you know, and I'm not going to say he's the breakaway guy, but, you know, he's got enough speed to do it. I think if Jalen had him as his wide receiver three, that would be a very consistent guy with some nuance to his routes. You know, if you're going to force the idea of wide receiver late in the first, you know, I could get down if they believe that he's got the talent. What do you guys think about JSN?
I've been watching him for quite some time. I think he's one of those ones that I really like, and he's got the dog in him.
Yeah. Oh, we got the dog in him.
Yes. He was out there. He was out there with what's called Harrison boy, and a couple of other receivers, and he still was able to get on the field. And he was supposed to go through guys. His yards after catch is what I love too, and his catch radius and catching the ball. He didn't have very many drops. He didn't have that 10% drop thing speaking about. I feel like he'll play special teams without missing the moment. Mm-hmm. I think he's there to do anything he can to get a team to win. When you listen to him talk. One of his dreams is playing in the pros. But your dream is playing the pros. You don't really want to come off the motherfucking field.
Right.
And I love to hear that from people. That it's like you got to have people that love to play football that want to come in and do everything.
Yeah.
Yeah, and to be honest with you, there's not many things about JSN that there isn't to like. I think he's a really good wide receiver prospect, and I think that, you know, just looking at this Eagles team and the exact position that we're looking to fill, I think he'd be a perfect fit for the slot. It all comes down to where the Eagles value him, in my opinion, because I don't think that – personally, I don't think, considering our wide receiver group, it would be advantageous for us to take him at 10, and I think that he is a top 15 player. So I think that if you were to acquire him, it would be by means of trying to trade back a few picks and acquiring some day two picks, hopefully. But other than that, I completely agree with you. I think he's going to be one of the top wide receivers that comes out of this class, and he's going to be a Pro Bowler one day. But I just don't know. It might be a right team, wrong time sort of situation for the Eagles.
Yeah. I like Jackson, man. That's my wide receiver one in this draft. Just a couple of things to throw out. So he forced 19 missed tackles in 21, had 9 to 10 contested catches. And so when you're talking about a dude that can make you miss right in open space, and you see that all the time, an expert route runner, probably the best route runner in the draft. And then also somebody that can go up and catch it right with other people surrounding them in traffic. Like, those are the things that you look for in a person that doesn't profile as a burner. One of the down pieces to him clearly is that he spent 83% of his career in the slot, right? So he's not somebody that has the value to kick outside. And I think that's where people see him as less valuable at 10, because he doesn't offer you that outside experience, right? Like, he's not somebody that could become an X in the future. But on the same note, I think that Ev, what you said, and Tank, I see you, I got you. But Ev, what you said makes a ton of sense is that like he comes in, he has a role, right? Like what we want him to do,
yeah,
like and what we need, he's a perfect fit for. And so I've come around to him if all things happened and the Eagles couldn't find a trade partner to move back, that JSN would be somebody I'll be okay with that 10 because he'll come in here, he's that same type of dude. He's gonna be on the film. Who we gonna be at the compound with, right? Jalen, Devontae, he's gonna be right there with him, arriving at the same time. And so, you know, when you're talking about people that fit the culture, JSN for me fits the culture. And somebody I'm excited to see play for this team if the opportunity presents itself.
And I saw Pete with the comment here. He said Brian Hartline is coaching up these wide receivers. Brian Hartline, if you guys don't remember him from back in the day,
I remember
Crafty. Crafty.
He was slow. But
exactly.
But Matt, what you were saying is they said the same thing about Justin Jefferson not being able to play on the outside.
But see, Jefferson, the year before they won the championship, spent most of his time outside. That unfortunately, because JSN only played for a year, that he like all of his concentrated snaps are in the slot. I don't really he could kick outside because he could win with the routes. Yeah. But I think that you really when you have Devontae and you have AJ outside and then you put him in the slot, that puts a lot of pressure on the defense trying to figure you out.
Yeah, but when people put that like you said, he only had a short time left. So that means that you don't know if he can do it when I don't like when people put that moniker on you. Well, he only can play in the slot. Well, you didn't put him outside. Yeah, it's like you haven't seen him outside yet. And I just think sometimes when people say that, that just see if he can play. But all we need to play is the slot right now, though.
Well, think about it though. Look who was playing outside, right? Like you have Chris Olave, you have Harrison Jr. Yeah. So you have these dudes that proved to be outside receivers. And so to also kind of counter your point, like he ain't go outside for a reason because it was dudes outside that was real killers. And so it was like, I play your position, bro.
And why would he go outside here? Because
we got straight killers on the outside. Yeah, exactly. So listen, I'm all for JSN. I think he would be a great addition to this team.
Now, we talk about that. We were just talking about slots, you know, a possible another prospect that could be seen as a slot player with us. Jordan Addison, he did spend time at Pitt, transferred to USC, still had a solid year. At the beginning of draft takes, you know, some people had him as a wide receiver one. But at the end of the day, I thought he was super scrappy. I think he's a guy that I could, you know, I'm not, you know, like I'd say second round, I feel a little bit more cool with his game. I'm like some at the end of the day, I kind of like moved him down my board in terms of I elevated JSN over Addison. What was your overall feelings about Jordan Addison?
I'll go. I thought, but as soon as I was watching the play, I thought about Nelly.
Saying Nelly because of USC.
But he just reminded me of the same thing. It was just like, but he gets the pass because he was at Pitt. But he's like it's everything that Gale said. He was scrappy. I think he didn't get that many looks because everybody was looking at Caleb Williams, the QB. So he caught some screens and he would be a good Bible threat. But I'm looking to put Quez on notice. But like, bring him in there. It's just another Quez. I mean, that's what I see. I see another Quez. We have this already. We already have this, and we're trying to get him to play. And they're using us having two of these jokers when they're trying to get their ass to play. And I don't see him. See, when I think of a third receiver, a third or fourth receiver fighting for time to play, I think of a guy who's gritty, who's thick like JSN, and will come in there and play on some special teams and stuff and knock the shit out of people, but also knows how to play the slot and will give us the time that we need, give us the protection we need from the third or fourth guy. Because this past year, all we got it from was Pascal, and with the other guys, they were just kind of just dressing the uniform and wasting the roster spot at that time. This is what I see.
At the end of the day, it's like I question on how these guys make these judgments on this on these wide receivers, because this guy right here, I don't even know how he's number two, to be honest with you,
baby. Thank you.
If there was a concern, I looked at the height and his body weight, but you know, Devontae Smith kind of like just changed my whole atmosphere when it came to that, you know what I mean? Because here's somebody that came into the league slim and everything, and became a monster. Yeah, he's a monster. So I don't question that. But you know, the guy is known for small plays. They made it very noticeable that he is aware of the field at all time when he's playing the game, where the first down marks are at, you know, how to stay inbound and stuff like that. His feet work is real good. They do mention that a lot, but you know, there are concerns again. Not concerns that I'm focusing on, but there's concerns in the league of his size, you know, just being that small time player instead of that big agility player that the NFL, you know, is pretty much big on.
Yeah, I mean, definitely with the stature thing, right? That like at 173 pounds, he isn't Devontae, but what he does do well is run routes, right? And I think that quickly differentiates him and Nelson Aguilar, is that Aguilar came in as a more athletic player. Jordan Addison is a really well-attuned, well-adjusted route runner, somebody that spent a lot of time outside and also in the slot. You see USC used him very creatively in his last year there. So, you know, I think that he offers upside that, you know, some of the other receivers that may be more athletic or larger don't, just because he is a really good route runner. I'm out on my brother because he has a 49% contested catch percentage and 23 drops in his career. To give him a 9.5 drop percentage, you're gonna be that small, you better be holding on to that rock, my guy. And he's not doing that.
You're kind of making my point that I was gonna make too. I'll start with the positive in that we're talking about filling holes here, and this is a guy that was returning punts all three seasons that he was at USC. So that is something that we could view as valuable. But you hit the nail on the head there, Mal. Because like I was looking at his combine draft profile, and I thought it was pretty funny to me that Tyler Lockett is his pro comp that they gave him. And I think about Tyler Lockett, I think he is one of the most handsy guys in the entire league. He's one of the, in my opinion, I'm a Ty Lockett stan personally. I think he is top 10 hands in the league. And and his sideline ability, the way he's able to create space and you know, make a catch, is top notch. Yeah. That's not Jordan Addison. So I just don't see that comparison at all.
I played against this ages me. I played against Tyler Lockett's dad, both in college and the pros. And then when you see the kid, you see him small in stature, but you see just what Evan said. His reliability of catching the ball, and his route running abilities, and the way he shakes people up and put them on notice. I don't see that out of Addison. I don't even see the hands part. I don't see. Maybe he'll develop it, but I'm not. I'm tired of USC receivers coming in here and duping us.
I mean, he does get separation. I like him. You know, he can get the separation, but again, I just think what we're trying to do is also. In your minds, think about the board as we're going through draft day, and do these guys fit into what we're trying to do? So be in mind that think about the draft as we're going through the draft process. While the draft is going on, like, do these guys actually fit? Like, you know, are they on your radar? Or are they on our board? Like, where's the value? Like, you know, if I don't see, like, I also think the second round could be that territory, that 30, that could be a running back potential spot as well if you move back. So I'm more thinking running back in the second round if they were going to go. I know the Bijan stands are they're in their fields right now, but now moving right along,
I feel,
man.
Like, you're trying to goat me here, pal.
He's trying to go both of you guys.
No, we had a couple earlier. Earlier in there.
There was a couple in there that said that we know, he knows that we're talking about receivers, but he's still on the Bijan bandwagon.
The Douglas Michael, you know? Yeah. Well, let's talk about a guy from Tennessee. I saw somebody in the chat already bring him up. Wide receiver Jalen Hyatt. If you go watch some of his tape, there's especially the Bama game. The man put up a monster five touchdown game against, we're not talking obscure state. we're talking about Bama. So when you put up those kind of numbers against a Bama team, you know, it's going to put everybody on notice. But if you look at his tape, there's a lot of how the hell are they leaving this dude wide open, 10 yards off, no press, no one in his face. He's just, you know, running free like, you know, he's looking like Deshaun Jackson out there with the amount of 50-yard touchdowns this guy's getting. I mean, what are you guys feeling about Jalin Hyatt from Tennessee?
Jalin Hyatt, to me, is this guy. First of all, he's one of the top wide receivers for me in the draft. We're getting back into the realm of guys that I really like. Jalin Hyatt is a good-ass wide receiver. And if you just look at him physically, man, like, he is a physical freak. That dude showed up at the combine. I mean, he was the number two production score at the combine. The first athletically among all the wide receivers. To me, I mean, like, we've been burned before, man. I bring it up every year around draft time. But, like, you looked at what DK Metcalf did in the combine and just what a physical freak he proved to be. And everybody got hung up on the, oh, what's his route tree, though? And then he comes in the league, and he was elite, just like as it was predicted. I think Jalin Hyatt is a great wide receiver, and I think that'll translate to the league.
Yeah, I have him as my wide receiver too, man. Definitely excited about him. Like you said, the athleticism is what really jumped out for me on tape. He had a 14.1 average depth of target, which is healthy, right? That, like, you're not looking at most times anything over 12 and a half. Means that a person is getting busy deep down the field. 3.27 yards per route run. So, like, both of those things tell you that this is an elite deep wide receiver. And also somebody that didn't necessarily have the same drop issues that a lot of the other wide receivers had. For me, he's an end of the first round dude. I just did a mock just chilling the other day, and I mocked him to Kansas City because I just think that would be a lot of fun. And I think, you know, even in this offense at 30, he would be explosive. The biggest questions are, you know, he only had 1 year of production. I hope we get into his homeboy, Cedric Tillman, who I like is one of the top receivers in this draft. But he only had 1 year of really explosive production, and then he played almost 90% of his snaps from the slot. So he didn't ever really kick outside in a meaningful way either. So, you know, other things to get into, but Jalin Hyatt is easily one of my favorite receivers in this draft.
Now, you're going to get it. They're going to be saying the same thing about him, and we're going to end up with Addison, and then somebody's going to get
him. I don't want Jordan Addison.
Don't start talking that into existence.
Don't you put that on me, Ricky Bobby.
Yeah, the thing with Ty is you're hoping he's, I mean, you, like, if you're going to draft him, you're hoping that he's more Deshaun Jackson than he is like a Will Fuller. You know, Will Fuller could stretch the field,
but Will Fuller years though, bro.
He gets also injured as well.
I was gonna say Will Fuller's a good wide receiver. He's just injury.
They're still waiting for him to come around.
That's what the funny part is. Y'all saying the key part. He's a good wide receiver when healthy. When is he healthy though?
Yeah. All right. But Hyatt again. You talk about field stretcher. You know, and again, when I start thinking about the offense, if wide receiver three, if he's a field stretcher, that's a positive. So, I mean, and the NFL loves speed. They're addicted to it. I think people that play Madden are addicted to it. But speed is speed.
Think about how we used Quez this year as well, too. I mean, like, even with Quez's drops, he was still keeping the defenses honest with his speed, and he still was able to stretch the field. You bring in a guy like Jalin Hyatt who – doesn't have those drop problems, has reliable hands, and he could do the same sort of role as Quez and just stretch the field. It opens everybody up.
Yeah, they mentioned that a lot about him in the notes, you know, that he definitely does take a lot of the safeties' attention, you know, opening up the field for the other receivers and for even the running backs. So, I mean, like you said, man, I mean, putting him in at wide receiver three, that would be key because it would open up the game for AJ, Devontae. Yeah. And, you know, whoever our future running back is.
I saw on tape there was a play where
Brian? Are you a little
ag because
Miles left?
No, not at all, man. I'm good.
Those little places, like whoever back here, whoever that may be.
I just don't want to come today. We're talking about wide receivers, so I'm gonna leave the topic alone.
There's a play on tape where Jalin Hyatt he scores a touchdown, and it's very similar to how Quez would score a touchdown. He scored a touchdown earlier in the season where he's in the slot, and then they kind of make the safety, you know, you make a decision. If you choose wrong, come up. It's an easy touchdown on the team.
Masturbate type of thing. If you hesitate one way, he has enough speed to get on top of you and beat the shit out of you. That's what I like it too. Because it's like when you're dealing with the safety, and I know the play you're talking about because it was sweet as fuck. Because I was like, he's toast. It's like, and that's what we Quez is like that, but when you look at Quez, it's like, yeah, it's like a 50-50. Or the worst thing is somebody can yell out at you on the basketball court, go ahead, let him shoot it.
The tough part with Hyatt, somebody mentioned it here, is press. He didn't face a lot of press, right? The way that Tennessee used them, they stacked them off the line of scrimmage. Like, they kept him away from press coverage. I was joking with Gail yesterday, but if I drafted him, or, you know, if it was a situation where I'm trying to meet with him, I'm bringing my DB's coach. I want to know your release packages, bro. I want you to walk me through the things that we didn't see on tape for me to trust that you could do it at the next level.
I mean,
because if you can't, I'm nervous, man, because it's different in the league, bro. You know, getting people open, you can still do it, still game plan them.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, if I'm taking him to be a horse for me, he got to get himself open too. I can't always be game planning you. So, but man, I like Jalen a lot.
Well, I like him as a three right now. It's like let's be honest. If we bring that kid in, we make him a three, and we get a new running back for somebody in here so he could stop trying to bomb out.
Offense would be explosive. You add him, maybe a Zach Charbonnet, right? This offense all of a sudden has a lot of juice to it. And I think that's where you got to go, right? Is like, I'm going to lean into getting these weapons for Jalen, and I'm going to patchwork a couple one-year deals on the defense, get some people in here.
That's what it looks like they're doing. Let's ramp up. If you look at what we've done so far defensively, we brought a linebacker in here who got ousted, who's one of those guys who I think is going to be a three-down backer, and he'll be a good blitz package guy. But we also went and got a couple of DBs. We kept the nucleus of our secondary, who was keeping the other guys, and we brought a couple of safeties in off of one-year deals to prove a deal. It's like it's a low risk, high value players that have already played the league. You know what they're capable of doing. Now you mix them with the young core that we got, and we brought Fletch and we brought BG back. Hey, it's time for us to build a second core.
Now, Vic.
Go ahead.
Now Vic mentions wide receiver three only gets like 2 to 3 targets a game in Philly. A wide receiver before the third round would probably be a waste.
Injuries, bro. That's a position of multiplicity, dude. Yeah, that exactly. Injuries, anything can happen. Like, I got to get out of this singular mindset of like wide receiver three equals this. Yeah. Good wide receiver equals highly coveted, no matter what, right? Like, you come across them, you bring them into your team, and you let the chips fall where they may.
And two, to help you out, Vic, if you good enough, you'll be getting the jet sweeps. You'll find a way to get you to rock, bro.
And
get you in space. The 2 to 3 targets that he was getting was mainly because
he wasn't very good.
Exactly.
Don't come with the bullshit. Because that's bull. If he had been catching any of those passes, they would love to continue to go.
He's a one trick pony, man. Quez has got the deep ball. That's it.
Yeah, but even though he's a one trick pony, he was faltering on that trip for half the season.
Yeah.
That's the part I was pissed off about. I was like, you can say that mainly because Quez was a third receiver and you saw who was behind him. You had a special team demon. Have you had a punt return
special? Bob wants to
talk the ball.
Well, one thing before we get on, I just think you can't not address an issue where we've seen multiple games lost by the hands, no pun intended.
Yeah.
Of inconsistent hands, and that's just what it is. I mean, and we're not coming down on Quez. It is what it is. You're just trying to figure this out.
And it's also the first year AJ Brown played the whole season, right? Like, we talking about injuries, we talking about substitutions. This is the first season that AJ played a whole season. And so if we're going to look at his past injury history with the Tennessee Titans, you got to take into consideration he might miss 3 or 4 of these things. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so you don't want to go in here, Britton Covey kicking outside for you. You might be in a bad situation.
Yeah, not only that, man. I was like, when you look at it, teams that sometimes are going to take our guys away from us with coverage.
Yeah,
you need that third guy to step up, to come up and make some fucking plays to loosen things up. If they know this motherfucker is only a 50% catch, they're gonna single team his ass up and then just let him self check. We got to get rid of the self check motherfuckers. We can't continue to have that bullshit just because we in love with them. I'm not in love with them. If you ain't making plays, I don't like you. Fuck that.
I made a pair of customs for Quez, so I. I'm just being honest. I'm being honest, man. I'm just being honest here.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
I know... Helena mentioned this other wide receiver we're going to bring up. And again, we're moving our way down. We're trying to move our way down.
You have a boy on the list?
Oh, wide receiver Josh Downs out of North Carolina. I've called him kind of like a wide receiver's best friend. I mean, obviously 5'9", 171. What can you do? He fights for the football. He attacks the football. He's an asshole when it comes to dominating – his box where he's at, he's always trying to win. And can he do the jet sweeps? Check. Can he do the crossing routes? Check. Is he there on the, is he finding the zone spots in the zones? Check. And, he's making plays, but, what are your overall feelings about, Josh Downs?
I think your description of him as a quarterback's best friend is a really good way of putting it. I mean, if you're just looking to bring him in and specifically to play in a wide receiver three role, he could be an effective dump off guy. Like you said, he could do the jet sweeps. He could do the screens. You just think about him kind of controlling the middle of the field for you. That's totally a possibility. I think he's going to be a good player in the league.
The drops are a concern as well, but
We only had three of them at 22, right? And so, like, you know, 10 and 21, three of them at 22. And so it's kind of like, which of them is he? For me, I like the fact that, like, it's what Gail said. I said this, if he was in Quentin Johnson's body, right, that if we did a body swap, that would be a top five pick.
This ain't Freaky Josh Friday,
Downs
though.
Is a goon when it comes to playing football. He's just tiny. So you can move him around relatively easily. Play 89% of his reps from the slot. So he comes in as a very specific sort of player. I saw that he was being comped to Kadarius Toney. They are as different as players as I could imagine. He doesn't have that short area quickness that I want from somebody that's his size. He ran better than I thought he would at the combine. But when you talk about being able to, like, quickly accelerate like Zay Flowers can, I'm okay with potentially dealing with Zay's drops because he can move like that with the ball in his hands. Mm-hmm. Josh is just not that deceptive. But did have 21 missed tackles forced in 2 years. So you see a little wiggle with him, almost 1,200 yards after catch in college, you know, through his career. So I have him as a mid-second round pick, my wide receiver 7. If you end up getting with him in the second, some maybe in the third somewhere, that's a great value pick. Yeah. But you know, too small and slow for me.
Yeah, I was gonna say he's gonna drop way further than you think he is. Mm-hmm. I like him, but I was like, he's small and scrappy. So he's probably gonna be somebody's team being small and scrappy.
Listen, man, Gail was a wide receiver. He's got a soft spot for the small wide receivers.
Steve Smith is not Steve Smith.
We're not saying he is. But if you listen to Steve Smith, he loves Josh Downs.
Josh Downs is a dog, right? And that's like Steve Smith is a dog. So in the end of the day, dog is gonna see dog. And I think that Josh Downs makes a career. He's going to end up being an ear player in the league, right? You know, I think what Tank said, he's going to fall down. He's going to end up sticking, bro. Because he's what you said. He's the dude that's willing to do anything to be on that football team. It's hard to cut guys like that. And he can make plays, too. So I think he finds a way to stick in the league, you know, as a third, fourth receiver. He would be a fit here. Just, you know, I wouldn't take him above several of these other guys we've already talked about, though.
Now, I saw the comparison of him with Kadarius Toney, and I mean,
no way.
I know, but I mean, like, you know, that was that was the one thing that the best thing that happened for Kadarius Toney is him getting traded to Kansas City Chiefs. I mean, Josh Downs, he's good at, you know, short receiving, long routes, deep threat. He's got good hands. So, I mean, yeah, I think he would be, you know, like you said, maybe third day, you know, third round. Pick, you know, I think it would be a good steal if he's there. But, you know, eventually whatever team he gets picked up with, you know, he's going to be pretty good for him.
I'm going to let Evan lead this one. Cause I was kind of saving it. I'm going to serve it up on him. The next wide receiver bringing it up to the table, wide receiver Zay Flowers out of Boston College.
5'9", just like you like.
You know,
what's up with all these little motherfuckers?
This draft is full of them, man. Hey,
last slot.
Well, and this is also Gale choosing, bro, because we got a couple people he ain't put up here.
Yo, this is Ev. This is Ev's guy.
He loaded these 5'9".
Hey, Hollywood's got the floor.
Let Ev talk about his guy here. Let Ev talk about his guy.
Zay, I started paying attention to a couple months ago, honestly. I caught some highlights a few months ago of seeing Zay. And to be honest with you, it's one of those things when you watch his tape that, like, I have the real, like, the thought process of I just don't see a lot of guys move like this, man. The way he is able to just make guys miss. And to be honest with you, I get that they played two totally different positions, but when he has the ball in his hands, you know who he reminds me of is Reggie Bush, dude. Like, I get Reggie Bush vibes just the way he is able to stop on a dime.
You don't remind me no fucking Reggie.
All right, well, I didn't play with Reggie. I watched Reggie. He was one of my favorites. And I'm saying in the term of how he's able to stop on a dime, make a guy miss. He'll even cut all the way back across field and still find a way to the end zone. That's what I'm saying in that regard. I see in, say, Flowers is a guy that is able to get to – the end zone by any means necessary. And that's something that I absolutely love. I mean, Mal brought something to my attention in the fact that he has a high drop rate. That's one thing to definitely keep in mind. Hey, dude, I try and keep it honest with everything. He's my favorite wide receiver because I think that he's absolutely electrifying. I'm not going to rank him above JSN if I'm being all real with you, because I think JSN is a complete package. But as far as Zay Flowers, man, I think he's explosive. I think I think he could be an elite talent in this league, and that's why I would love if the Eagles took him at 30.
Yeah, I have him as wide receiver 3, man. End of the first, same range, right? Like around that 30 pick. If you could get him in the second, I think that would be ideal. You know, as you mentioned, just the ball with, like, him running with the ball in his hands, 40 career missed tackles forced is a lot of missed tackles forced throughout a career, man. So I think that just really speaks to his ability to move well in short area. And he could take the ball to the house from anywhere. I got to get to it. 41.5% contested catch and 24 drops in his career for a 10.8% drop rate. Tough. Yeah. That's tough. When you're talking about somebody that small,
whoever just said Sheldon Brown hit, we still won that game, Dick Tracy. Shut up.
Now,
push it. My bad.
Oh, the thing about Zay Flowers, if you're talking wide receiver 3, and you think about some of the skill sets that you see him on jet sweeps, you see him on crossers, I think that's where his athleticism in open field.
Drag route, son. Drag route.
Yeah, I mean he would kill over the middle, and I think he's got that. Again, I'm not gonna say Steve Smith has that pettiness that you like. No, I'm saying the pettiness factor.
Yeah.
Like when I see a wide receiver, you have that pettiness factor.
He's a dick.
No, you want to be you want to be
man, bro. Come on.
I love it. I love it, man,
but he's a dick.
That's what I'm saying. Like, you know, you get up, you know, you turn around first down, like you know what I'm saying.
He's not gonna let you get away with bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I
he's
like
a dog, bro.
I'll see some plays where you see Quentin Johnston. He's as big as he is. You expect a guy to run through someone, and
he's not doing that.
you're like horsed. There's some things you just like, you know, like you like the physicality. You know? And yeah, that the next prospect I'm gonna bring up for Mal, I'm gonna let him do his thing.
Yes, sir. It's about time.
Wide receiver Cedric Tillman out of Tennessee, another guy who, if you go back and watch some of his tape, I'm gonna let Mal serve it up for you.
Yeah, man. So I was watching Jalen Hyatt's 21 tape. I think it was versus Alabama. And so that same game that you see Hyatt having 22, that was Cedric Tillman tearing them up in 21. He ran through Alabama, ran through Georgia. And so after that, I just kept grinding the tape. But I'll get right to it. One of my favorite prospects in the whole draft, second round pick, I think that would make an excellent addition to this team. Played predominantly outside, but similar to Jalen Hyatt, he has a 15.8 career average depth of target. Again, so you're talking about a dude, 6'3", 213. That's also a deep threat with a 72.2% contested catch in 21. So, you know, all the things that I'm looking for, realistically, right, guys that could go up and get it, but always people that can catch it in traffic. You're talking about that with Tillman, and he's a blocker on the outside. One of the things you just want to see from big receivers, period, is becoming more adept at angles as opposed to rounding off routes. Tillman's definitely rounding off some of those out routes, and that'll get your quarterback pissed off real quick when somebody jumps underneath it. So, you know, some route refinement, but man, Cedric Tillman, listen, if y'all haven't gotten into him, get into his 21 tape or 22 versus Pitt. Had three drops in that game, but also dominated. And when Hendon Herndon needed a play, he was not looking at Jalen Hyatt. He was looking at Cedric Tillman. So I'm gonna just leave it.
Yeah. After speaking to Mal, and then he's like, who haven't you watched yet? And then he told me Cedric Tillman. I went back, watched a lot of Cedric Tillman. I had to hit him up right away. I was like, hey man, this one before you start your day, I just want to let you know how I was very surprised with his game. Again, he's got that big body that you like. I'm not gonna say he's a super burner, but when he dominates his space, so wide defensive backs, they can't get through his once he boxes them out. We're talking about the short game, you know, the slant game. But then again, he can get up on you, and then he's got the size. Again, you start looking at these prospects, you know, 6'3", 213.
Yeah. I mean, look at those numbers. He those plays numbers like right he's there. 6'3", 213. That's wide receiver. That's wide receiver numbers right there. 6'3". Yeah.
It's the big body type.
It's the big body, exactly.
I mean, he's done with these 5'9", 170s. I know. Problems over there, miserable.
I'm looking at a lot of these boards and they got him going like number 9 and everything, and it's crazy. But yes, finally, a body in this NFL draft that, you know, caught my attention. I mean, reading on some of the stuff. Yeah, pause. I'm reading on some of the stuff. Big receiver who plays big with the ball. I mean, he attacks it in the air. Very impressive with the balance and the body control. You know what I mean? So it's just like that's a wide receiver right there. That got the attention. So I'm just saying, I'm glad we finally. I mean, what better person than to give the, you know, the wide receiver that has the attention to Mal, you know what I'm saying? Hey, look.
So we talk about Zach Pascal role. Could he take that?
Yes.
He's a goon, bro. He's going to be on my all dogs list when I come out in a little bit. But Cedric Tillman is on there. And if you watch, like, I love the pass blocking reps, right? Because the offense that Tennessee ran, it's a lot of bubble screens. It's a lot of things where your wide receivers have to get in space and engage. Jalen did it okay. This man was horsing people, bro. Like, he takes it to heart to get his hands on folks and move them. And so, you know, those are the things that I look at. And, you know, when I was telling Gail when I was watching him, I saw a lot of Mike Williams in his last year at Clemson, just that ability to just go up and get it. Like, a big dude you couldn't think could run fast is running by people that are supposed to be faster than him. And then when you need to go get it, like, he's going to climb the ladder. So, yeah, man. I like them a lot.
Dude, Mal is the one that turned me on to Cedric, man. He's a beast. And to build off all your guys' points, finally have a 6'3 guy to talk about here. I mean, that I'm all about the big bodies in the league, man. And I truly don't get how – I mean, Devontae Smith is like a unicorn, dude, the way that he is that size and he's able to do what he does. But he also stays healthy, too. I'm saying he's light, and he's able to stay healthy when he's getting hit by enormous mountains of men.
You should have been able to.
They both died.
That's a meme.
Get hit by a mountain is a man, bro.
Yo, am I wrong?
Oh, wow.
Man Mountain.
Man Mountain.
Well, again,
riding Man Mountain, bro.
Timo's going to be out here blocking. And but when you think of smaller guys like Josh Downs, you're not going to get that blocking on the outside.
But I'm curious as to where, because I feel like he's had a pretty wide range in a lot of the drafts that I've seen.
Right.
Like, where does Cedric Tillman fall to you guys?
I have him in a second, mid-second, bro. I think teams are going to get him in. They're building. Look at him as like an athletic person. Talk to him about 22. He had a foot injury. He played through the foot injury, right? And so, like, you know, the man's tough, bro. You know, but I'm also not a GM. I don't know. But, you know, looking at him, I see a player that easily, had he played the same way in 22, might be the top wide receiver in his draft. So, you know, his 21 tape tells me everything, man.
Now, that I personally think that they're going to get him in. And, like, I think he might go in the high second round, maybe for the foot injury. But it's gonna be one of those things where I don't even listen to the draft handlers nowadays. Because if they were good, they would have had a job by now.
This man, yo.
It's like this, because I don't know if you guys have been watching the draft as long as I have, but when Bill Polian told Mel Kiper, "Who the fuck are you anyway?" and Bill Theismann asked him the same thing when he was questioning the picks that was coming up, and he's like, "That's why Indianapolis is always drafted right here. That's why you're making up a draft every year because nobody will give you a draft because you don't know what the fuck you're talking about."
Well, yeah, Mel Kiper is terrible, but
him and Todd McShay, that was a lot of times they'd be bullshit and they're high on people. They shouldn't be high on. So
now another prospect. As we move right along, we're trying to get to all these prospects. it's a lot of artwork.
I told my wife I'll be back in an hour. She was like, "Really?" She was like, "You said that the last time, so maybe you see I'm trying, man." Bro.
Yeah.
I tell
my wife that every damn week.
So wide receiver Tyler Scott out of Cincinnati, 5'10", 177. Again. You know, for his size, he's an explosive dude. Can separate. You know, he's a guy that.
What about for the real size of the NFL? How about we just get some real NFL motherfuckers up here?
How about you just let me finish over there?
You already did that though.
So anyway, Tyler Scott again. If you watch some of his tape, you look at Jalen Wyatt. You know what I'm saying? And he's a guy that you're like, how did they leave this guy open? He's just out there, you know. I'm not gonna say they didn't disrespect him, but they just left this guy open. He was just killing him. And you're again, he's a guy that's. I think I'm not gonna say he's low on people's radar, but I think a lot more people need to be talking about Tyler Scott.
Yeah, man, he's a burner, man. I like them. For his deep threat opportunity, right? You're going back to the body type. So 5'10", 177. I'm going to have him as like an early third round pick right now. But scored on 16% of his receptions, went for touchdowns. So I like that kind of stuff. He also had a 39.5-inch vertical, which for a guy at 5'10", you know, I'm going to get behind because that means he could climb the ladder, go up and get it. Caught 55% of his catches in 22. So, you know, you're talking about somebody his size that's catching the ball above the 50% rate and damn near has a 40-inch vert. I'm interested, right? He's not a route technician. He's not a great route runner. So that's going to be tough for him and also has limited experience. Just didn't play a lot in college. But you see flashes on tape of somebody that can absolutely keep a defense honest. And I don't think that he'd have the issues dropping it like Aguilar or Quez, you know, but also he just won't get open as easily as some of these other guys we've talked about.
Yeah, we got to talk about the elephant in the room here.
Who's that?
What kind of wide receiver picks number 21?
Well, that's my favorite number. So I'm
Desmond Howard on the Heisman in 21.
Nah.
I mean, he won the Heisman in 21. I was like, at that time, I was just
pretty good season.
Yeah,
he's
truly wore number 21 too.
Nah,
you said he's Shuler?
Yeah.
Oh, quarterback. Yeah.
Shuler.
Another guy. I'm keeping this one for the hometown Penn Staters, but Parker Washington, a guy who also plays special teams. So when you're talking about some of the guys that could possibly return, reliable as a slot maybe on at the next level, but a guy a lot of people seem to be high on. What are guys' thoughts on Parker Washington from We Are?
I mean, we're starting, in my opinion, we're starting to get in the back end. This is a day three guy, in my opinion. It's and you think about the day three wide receivers that the Eagles have taken in the past. We're talking about the likes of Quez Watkins, John Hightower. He falls in that sort of, you know, maybe it'll work, maybe it won't sort of thing.
Yeah, I have him outside my top 10. You know, there are definitely other players that I would be more interested in, even in the third round. So, you know, it's folks we haven't even gotten to yet. You know what I mean? But yeah, Parker Washington, like special teams matters though, but you know, not somebody I'll be running
again,
to the podium.
We're talking on replace Britton Covey.
Yeah.
But I'd rather keep
Britton Covey.
Oh, look at you.
I'd rather keep Britton Covey.
I'm probably gonna piss a lot of people off in the comments, you know what I mean? But it is what it is. I'm gonna stick to what I said. I'd rather stick with Covey.
Right now, Covey don't have no fucking job. I'm sorry.
He's got a job on TikTok.
He trying to take that man whole employment from him, bro.
He sure is, man.
He said you don't even have a job. Dude, they got a whole contract, sir.
Yeah, you called the Rock. The fuck out of here. If I bring somebody in there that moves 2 yards upfield.
Hey, yeah, where my man's at, Gil?
Let's see.
Where's Charlie Jones?
Which one would this man's be?
A.T. Perry?
Man, get him out of here, too.
A.T. Perry?
Get him out of here.
A.T. Perry?
Man, Marvin Mims Jr., man. Where that real
Boom,
guy?
Look at,
yeah.
Say thanks for the graphics. Thanks for the graphics, yeah.
I like Marvin, but
damn. Let's go.
Talk about Marvin Mims, my guy.
Yeah, that's my man, too. I got excited about him because of his release package, right? That, like, when you talk about a wide receiver – that played most of his snaps outside at 5'10". Man, like I get excited about Marvin Mims, dude. And you talk about Devontae Smith's route running ability. He isn't there, but he is somebody that clearly is taking a lot of time going through his routes, going through his releases. So I appreciate that from him. Also a deep threat too, 16.7 average depth of target, 2.95 yards per route run. That's healthy, man, right? So you're talking about people that can get open way, way down the field and also make the catches that you need. Only 9 career drops. So you're talking about somebody that's shorthanded as well. Only 46.7% contested catch, so his play strength is definitely a thing. He won't necessarily play through contact. But Marvin Mims, for me, in the mid-second round, I'll be all over it.
Yeah.
I like Marvin because his arm, if you pay attention, he's got the long arms. He's for a small dude,
that's what I'm
saying. For a small dude, he got the and if you're grab the rock too. So
if you're looking for a legitimate replacement for Quez Watkins, we're talking about an absolute upgrade right here, man. I mean, this is a guy, like you said, he's got 9 career drops. That's the opposite of what we're looking for in Quez Watkins, and he has the speed. Right. We're talking 4.39 speed, and on top of that, for his career, 19.5 yards per catch.
Yeah, come on, bro.
Dude's a home run hitter, bro. Like, come on.
Exactly.
The thing you like about him, he's consistent. You know, with the hands. At the end of the day, he's a vertical threat as well. I think he's a well rounded player. I think he's a playmaker, man. And again, you know, he keeps showing up. So
we're not talking about Denzel Mims, bro. Expand on your doo-doo comment, bro, because you're gonna need a little bit more than that, bro.
Yeah, we he said doo-doo.
Right.
He called the shit poop.
Another guy I'll bring up. Should we wait for Jay to respond?
I think we should just keep it moving.
Just starting to
Michigan State, Jaden Reed. He's the guy that he shined down at the Senior Bowl. When I start thinking about him as a prospect, I'm talking about, like, you know, third to fourth round. If you can get him later, that's a guy who can, again, return punts and give you a upgrade at your wide receiver 4 or to, yeah. or five, or you know, he's a guy that you could develop. And I think at the end of the day, he's a guy that just kept popping off at the Senior Bowl. No one could cover him. And you're hoping that when you talk about day three guys that to fill in, he's a guy that you could develop with special teams ability.
Yeah, man. I had him at wide receiver 10 right before A.T. Perry. You kept talking about this dude nonstop. So finally went in there and really did the tape assessment. I liked it. So his career was weird. He had a great 21, not great 22, never broke 1,000 yards, but also has five career punt return touchdowns, right? Like almost 1,000 punt return or kick return yards in his career. So like you said, he offers those the opportunity to be a multiple like contributor. Also has that dog in him. When you see him play, he's one of those dudes that clearly enjoys blocking, doing the dirty parts of the game. So I'm all for that. Had a 64.7 contested catch in 22 with a much lower number in 21. He's an enigma to me, bro. I don't know which one he is, right? Do you see him in 21 or see him in 22? Which of those receivers is he?
Yeah. Well, with the stats that you just broke down, I mean, these are the wide receivers that I really like the most that are coming at the later rounds. I feel like that's where you're going to get the most energy from those guys that are really, you know, hungry. Like you said, he's a dog. So, I mean, like, those are the ones that I look forward to the most. All those other ones that go into the higher rounds, we got a steal 2 years ago with Devontae. Right. But, as time goes on, I just feel like the ones that come out of the later rounds are the ones that – are the most explosive and are the hungriest when it goes into preseason and trying to get a roster spot.
So another middle round prospect. I know we're going to go back to the size prospects for y'all. 5'8", 165. He could change direction on a stop on a dime. But you know, we talk about mid round explosiveness later on. Tank Dell. Yeah. He did it down at the Senior Bowl. That's a small dude, man.
Yeah.
That is a small dude. Anyone? Before you kill him, he's got the same name as you.
But we are going through the Smurfs. And the snort.
All right.
The other problem, I mean, like, what's the thing we've been saying this entire podcast? If you're going to be that small, you got to be able to catch the ball. Now, what's his drop rate?
His drop rate is atrocious.
So we're talking about a 5'8", 165 person that can't catch the ball. That's all you need to know right there.
Well, and that's the tough part with him, right, is that at that size, his drop rate isn't what you would want it to be. But I'll be honest, I wasn't as out with him as I was with Quentin Johnson. Just because, you know, Tank Dell is electric. And I also think that he made an impression on me at the Senior Bowl. So Vic talking about contested catches, he actually did a pretty good job at that in one-on-ones at the Senior Bowl. So I think that he was able to show he was a little bit better of a player than maybe some of us thought. And that forced me to go back and watch tape again. And also last year, he played very well against Sauce Gardner and Kobe Bryant in that Houston-Cincinnati game. So you see him go against NFL caliber corners, and he succeeded. So, you know, it kept drops, man. It's always going to come down to drops. Nothing could deflate you more than watching somebody wide open dropping a damn pass. You know?
The thing with him is he's a playmaker, and he has the big play ability. And then again, we're talking about special teams, and we're talking about. We're not talking about the first, like second round. We're talking about mid round. So just go watch the tape and then see what he puts on tape. And then you're like, all right, this is why it makes sense. He's smaller. Later rounds, you take a flyer on these type of dudes.
And it's only an 8.6% drop, right? But he has 22 total. But that's on 347 targets. So this is a dude that saw a lot of work in college. I like Tank, man. I think that he could turn this offense. You put Jahmyr Gibbs and Tank Dell into this offense, and this thing blows wide open. Yeah. And so, you know, I get excited about stuff like that.
They're calling you Gargamel in the chat.
what you got, Dick Tracy?
All these fucking Smurfs we talking about. I didn't know we was going to be talking about all these Smurfs.
It's been said Smurfs 5 times.
No, it's like, if you look at it, I was like,
God, this isn't Beetlejuice.
Yeah, I know. Beat a guy.
you don't want to draft a little Bow Wow?
Fuck no.
Dell looks like a
I'm not making a rap album. I'm playing a football game.
38 missed tackles forced in 2 years, right? Like, you're talking about a baller, man. He might be small, but he could play some football.
So one of our
we play against the big dogs.
So we want to get you a big wide receiver that you could look and talk about.
Whatever.
Wide receiver AT Perry out of Wake Forest. He's 6'4", Tank, 198 pounds.
Like he's 40.
Yeah, it looks like interesting. It's just thing.
He don't look like he's 40.
He looked like he's got good credit.
Sat in the front of the class, bro. He definitely.
Now me and Mal talked about AT Perry. What you think about AT Perry's game? He's a little lanky.
He is the oddest route runner I've ever watched. He runs the strangest routes I've ever seen in my life, and it's sort of hard to like get over because it's just so weird. But also, he wasn't the big catch receiver for them. It was their number 80, their freshman. That's a heck of a ball player. But 40% contested catches with that body type. I'm not a fan. 10%, 10.4% drop percentage, right? Like, you're talking about a dude with 20 career drops. That's also not making contested catches at a high enough rate. I mean, and early day three, maybe.
Yeah.
But like, he has to figure out who he is as a wide receiver. But everybody, if you haven't, please go to Wake Forest. Go watch him run routes and then come and holler at me on Twitter. It's the wildest thing I've ever seen.
Well, you know, the funniest thing, Mel, is when he Gail presented him to me, I said, who the fuck looks at Wake Forest for offense? Wake Forest is – no, when I look at – I think of Wake Forest, I think of a defensive-minded squad. I never thought of that offense as being nobody you can go just pick up and get. I mean
– Seahawks starting running back is, right?
Who?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Who?
Kenny.
He went to Wake Forest.
KW3. He balled out at Wake Forest too.
Wake Forest.
Kenny Walker.
The third from Seattle. Seattle's running back.
That's also Evans Boo. That's Evans Boo. He transferred.
But he got drafted out of Michigan State. Yeah. At Michigan State, he was a running back. Like I said. When you think of fucking Wake Forest, you don't think of offense. What did you draft him from?
I'm just giving a shout out to his alma mater. Who was the other wide receiver drafted in the second round?
Dick Tracy. Why do you sound like you're across the room?
Yeah.
Because I'm yelling.
Put your lips up to the mic, pal.
No.
Oh, baby.
I'm a man.
Don't swallow. Oh, baby.
That's what people are saying in the chat. They're calling you Gargamel right now. Did you watch Kayshon? Best draft names in the draft.
Boutte.
Has anyone lost more money in a year than Kayshon Boutte? Dude, Kayshon Boutte. Going into the season, he was like a lock. He was like the wide receiver one and plummeted, yo. I don't know, man. I think that they're, I don't know. I mean, Boutte doesn't look like a terrible football player, right? But
he just stopped.
Do you think it was the lack of help around him?
Too much booty.
Jesus Lord, I don't think it was too much booty either. I think honestly, when you look at it, go look at his 10-yard split. I think that tells you a pretty significant story, right? Like, he ran a 40-yard dash that was similar to Tank Dell. His 10-yard split was towards the end of the first, the worst in the draft class. And so I think really it's a lack of explosiveness mixed with a not well-refined route tree. He doesn't really have like an elevated release package for somebody his age and his, you know, year of experience in college. So, I think that as a coaching staff, you will have to believe, A, that there's still potential there, and then B, like y'all been saying, he can come in and play special teams. I don't know, bro.
Yeah, we'll see, man. I mean, he's got the vertical ability, definitely a playmaker. But again, we'll see. I mean, a lot of people.
Hey, my battery's running.
Love some booty. Everybody loves some booty.
I like booty as much as the next person, but Boutte, not so much.
False.
Other quick shout outs: wide receiver Trey Palmer from Nebraska.
Yeah.
She writes from SMU. That's one of Tank's favorites.
Really, Tank. Tank, but you also like McBride, man. So I'm done with you now, man. You like these slow people that don't do nothing, don't got nothing with it, man.
Yeah, they do. He makes plays. That's why he was at the combine. He makes plays. I like Rice just because he his speed and he can catch the ball.
Yeah.
Now Todd says he had a 300-yard, 3-TD game as a freshman.
Mm-hmm. Like that's what I'm saying. Like you don't want to see a person balling as a freshman and declare in shambles. Right, that like what happened. That's the opposite of what you're looking for in a trajectory. And so, if you're getting him mid to late day three, I'm not gonna say no to anything. Right, that like if he's a football player, the coaching staff and all of them vet him, and it makes sense to bring him in, you're not gonna hear me argue with that. They're the professionals. They get paid well to do this. But you know,
you're again, looking for improvement every year.
Exactly, flyer guy. Right, he's flyer more of a guy. Flyer guy than like some of the other dudes we've talked about that started off rough and maybe over time got incrementally better.
And while we're on this topic of like developing wide receivers, what's your guys' thoughts on Moorhead? Like, do you think that if we were to bring in a project type wide receiver, he would be a good enough coach to be able to figure them out, or are we, I don't know, more reliant on just getting a more talent, a guy that's already got talent coming in?
Well, I mean, you said it yourself, it's all about getting better every day, right? So, I mean, that's the aspect of it all. Like just going in there and trying to find that next level dude out of all this talent that's coming onto the squad. So, I mean, I think that's basically what his job is to go ahead and find that talent. So yeah, I think that's something he should definitely focus on.
Now, what's him called? Who's asking about Puka? Have you watched Puka? I know Puka, Steve Puka.
I know a Puka. I don't know a Puka.
Yeah,
people been screaming about him for the longest. Tim Perkins.
6'2",
I think he was really the first one. Yeah, talking about it. I mean, 61.8% contested catch, 8.5% drop rate. Isn't like a highly used dude, right? We talked 347 career targets for Tank Dell. Puka has 155. So I think that he's still somebody that we don't know exactly what he is, but I will say, you know, as a day three pick, I think he does profile as somebody that could come in and give you some special teams reps. And so, you know, I mean, dudes this late, it's like we talked about that glob of running backs, right? It's sort of like pick your preference type of thing. And so I think, you know, we have a void for a wide receiver that could come in and maul people. Could be Puka.
My last guy I'm bringing up, Jonathan Mingo at Ole Miss. Again, big body type. He's got the rack ability. He plays very strong. He's not going to be the burner where, like, you know, he separates the top of his routes. But I think you talk about a guy down by the end zone. He could definitely body out some smaller dudes. Yeah. So, I mean, if you're sticking around for this talk, it's obviously you have issues. If you love the draft as much as we do, you have issues, and we love that. We do love that. Let's see. I mean, before we get out, I want to just talk about, we just want to give a shout out to Philly Sports Trips.
Yes, I was about to say, we still got a trip going down to the draft, the actual draft, for all this all this meeting that we're doing about the draft won't be in vain. I'll say what's up to some of the guys. I'm going. I just put on reservation a party with the legends and all the young bucks at the Lowe's Hotel. It's going to be a stone cold groove. Now,
are you going to have some, what are you going to be sipping on? Private stock?
Probably something that'll sterilize me.
Some Ripple?
It's Kansas City, so I'm probably going to be eating a barbecue sandwich and drinking a Pat Blue Ribbon.
Night Train 2020?
Night Train, man. You're taking it back to when we were kids.
Night Train. You all right?
That's
what we don't know about.
O-E?
This man talking steel reserve activity. Yo, you got people asking for the mock draft, Gail. What you going to do?
Oh, jeez.
Oh, hell no.
I'm trying to
stay married.
Hey, we could definitely hit up a mock draft on Thursday if you guys are around or up to it. And take a different swing at it, different perspective. We did Bijan Stan, first one. Then second time we did what? Defensive, kind of?
Yeah, what did we do? Jalen?
Yeah, I think we moved back and took Nolan Smith. We did something.
We move back and take Jalen? Did we take Jalen Carter?
You moved back and took Jalen Carter?
Yeah, no, because the knock on him is like the one thing about Jalen Carter. Well, I think we're going to be able to get him is because they think that he doesn't have the work ethic and everything, and so some people are not going to take him until probably number 10.
I don't know, bro. I'm trying to get Tyree Wilson.
hey, how big was Dante?
Dante who, Culpepper?
No. What's his name? The human joystick.
Oh.
He's 180.
No, I'm just saying.
He was like 5'7", 5'8", 180, though? Yeah. He wasn't 5'6". You know, it's not too many people that size being successful in the NFL.
I'm trying to think. Well, you're running back out of Kansas.
That's my man, Deuce Vaughn.
Kansas State.
I don't know that he makes it in the NFL, but he's a hell of a football player, man.
But also, before we get a
give him a shot, though. Go ahead.
I want to give a shout out to Conchi Bakery. We went out there this weekend, celebrating their 50th anniversary there. They're big people, part of the community, man. Just to see all those people out there celebrating them, seeing the whole family have a good time. Awesome. Prime brought his kids and wifey and, just enjoying the day. Prime didn't get his face painted.
What?
You get your face painted,
Prime? No, I didn't have a chance to.
He was about to. I was like, bro, come on. let's
put a real Prime on him, on his face.
But you see, when you said, yo, come on, I respected that, right? All right, so right now, come on, let's go. Let's
go. Well,
I said wrap it up.
is it Taco Tuesday?
Taco Tuesday, bro. Mal in a couple years is going to feel this pain. Got to put the kids to sleep.
Put them in the bed. Yeah, all right. Let's go.
I totally understand.
This guy.
Are you putting yourself in the bathroom? Totally
no, that was Ev that brought that up.
Oh.
Well, while we're at it, man, why don't we go with last? Why don't we go last word, man?
You just said the last word because Prime's got to go.
Go ahead, Prime. Do your last word since you want to get out of here.
Nah, man. You know what I mean? It's always fun to go ahead and do these talk about these prospects for the NFL draft and everything. But let's wrap this bitch up and be safe. Go Birds.
I appreciate you guys. Let's wrap this bitch up. Who's next?
Apparently, we all just saying wrap this bitch up. So let's wrap this bitch up.
Wrap the bitch up.
Go Birds.
I'm bucking the system. I'm not letting Mal.
I was waiting for it.
I got another 30 minutes of talking about why Zay Flowers is the
I'll personally come and pay you a visit.
No, I just want to thank everybody that's still listening. I mean, we love you guys for being football freaks just like us, being NFL fans all year long. Zay Flowers is still that dude. Go Birds.
He is.
Appreciate you draft sickos sticking around again. Yeah. This is what we do during the off season. Obviously, we party, we talk about the Eagles constantly, but in the off season, we're gonna get in and watch some of these guys and then tell you our really true thoughts on them, even if they're not,
You said we're gonna tell you our true thoughts, even if they're that's not how you end that.
No, I was gonna say because I was gonna transition to Ev. Even though he loves Zay Flowers more than the next guy. But anyway, we'll see you guys in the next one. And as always, fly, Eagles, fly.